Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Happy to be with you. Glad we are all back together again as we get ready to take a look at marriage and its connection with happiness. Now, here's my question for you. When it comes to happiness, does marriage make a difference at all? If so, if it does make a difference at all, is that difference only slight? Is it significant? What do you think? Is there just no difference at all? We're talking about when it comes to happiness in particular. Happiness, overall well-being of the individual. Does marriage make a difference at all? Well, medical news today says it does make a difference. And specifically when it comes to long-term happiness. They found in studies that married people actually exhibit higher levels of happiness and well-being than people who are single. Now, does that surprise you? Think about this now. I know I had a neighbor, a former neighbor, who was single when he was living in our neighborhood. And I was married at the time with, I think, three children. I know I had two children, but I think no less than two, but I think I had three. Either way, I was married with children. He was single. And every once in a while, he would try to just give me a hard time about being married, being a family man, and not having the freedom that he had. And he would just laugh as he talked about how he could just come and go whenever he got ready. And I couldn't do that. Yeah, he let me know, you can't just come and go when you get ready. You gotta answer to somebody. You got to make sure that everything's taken care of at home. I don't have to do any of that. I get ready to go. I just leave. And for the most part, he was right about that. He almost always had one or two dogs, and so he had to do something to take care of them. But other than the dogs, when he was ready to go, he left. And so from his perspective, he had me at a huge disadvantage when it comes to being able to enjoy life overall. And so I laughed as he talked, and finally, after he had, you know, I'd given him, I thought, ample time to state his case, I went on and stated my case. And I pointed out to him that it was important for him to understand that being a family man was not something that I was doing against my will. I tried to help him understand that being a family man was pleasurable, enjoyable to me, just like being single was pleasurable and enjoyable to him. And I shared with him the fact that being a family man was something that I had planned from childhood. That wasn't something that just happened, nor was it something that was forced on me. I let him know I was a family man because I wanted to be a family man, the same way he was single because he wanted to be single. And, you know, the whole business of being able to come and go as you please, I let him know that wasn't an issue for me. I pointed out to him that even when I was in high school, still living with my mother and my sisters, when I was getting ready to go someplace, I let someone know. That was mom's rule. I say mom's rule because my father didn't live with us much. He was in the Army, and for a number of years, he spent, you know, his time touring. I guess from about the time that I was about eight, he began getting his assignments to different parts of the country, different parts of the world, I should say. And he would go to his duty stations, but once we came to the Augusta area from Germany, our parents decided that they really liked Augusta. My father, of course, was stationed at Fort Gordon. And my parents decided that they liked Augusta, and so they were going to make Augusta home right then. They weren't going to wait until my father retired some years later, then returned to Augusta. Augusta became home for us then. And so my father continued to move around to his various duty stations while mom and the kids stayed right in the Augusta area. And so that's why I said, so my father was gone much of the time. He literally was not there. And so my mother was the main one making the rules. And one of her rules was, if you're getting ready to leave and go somewhere, you need to let someone know. And of course, if she was at home, we needed to let her know. If she was not at home, then we siblings needed to be informing each other. We didn't have a problem with that. I mean, it just wasn't an issue. And so if mom was at home, mom, is it okay? And if she was okay with us going, we went. If she wasn't there, we siblings let each other know, hey, I'm going such and such a place. I'll probably be back home by such and such a time. It just wasn't an issue. And so when I got married, that was still my practice. I mean, that was part of my personality. That was just how I did things. Let my wife know I'm going. If my wife wasn't at home, she was at work, wherever she was, the children were there, they were old enough to keep themselves, I'd let them know, I'm getting ready to go to such and such a place. I should be back by such and such a time. Actually, that's a good practice because, for one thing, you need to let family know what's up so that if something strange happens, you know, you're gone and something's going on. Car stopped working, tire went flat, something has come up, an emergency has come up. And you're not at home at a time that they would expect you to be back. It's good for them to know where you went, the approximate time that you left, and the approximate time you were planning to return, so that if they need to call law enforcement, they have some specific information to give them. What time did he leave or she leave? Did they say where they were going? All right. And why do you think that there's something to be concerned about? Well, they said that they would be back by such and such a time, and several hours have gone by since then, and they're not back yet, and we haven't heard from them. Because that's one of the things that we would do, too, very often. You know, because this was one of the rules again. My mother really liked for us to check in and let someone at the house know if we were going to be coming back much later than we originally anticipated. Again, if something's up, they'll know. If nothing's up, they'll know. I just continued that practice at home, what I'm saying at home, with my wife and our children. And to me, that was a non-issue. It was easy. It was part of the way I lived. It was part of my lifestyle, literally, part of my lifestyle. And so, not having the freedom to just come and go for me wasn't an issue because I felt just as free being accountable as I felt if I had been single and was not accountable. I mean, think about it now. I hadn't been married all of my young adult life. I hadn't been I wasn't raising children all of my young adult life, so I knew what it was to be single and, you know, not have a wife, children to be accountable to. Look, being accountable, not a big issue. You have people who are accountable to each other at work, people who are accountable to each other at places of worship. Now, I don't see a problem with being accountable to each other at home. It should be about love and responsibility. It's not something that takes away from you. It simply adds to the family environment. We're checking in with each other, showing each other that respect. And of course, I let my wife and our children know this is the way I wanted them to do it. You let us know. No problem. Not an issue. Now, that said, are there any benefits to being married? Any benefits to being single? Well, again, in a number of studies, it has been shown that married people actually exhibit higher levels of happiness and well-being than people who are single. That according to recent research by the Vancouver School of Economics in Canada. Happiness levels were found to be even higher in people who consider their spouse to be their best friend. You all may recall some of the conversations we've had with married couples. We spoke with the awesome duo, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., two of the former lead singers for the 1960s and 1970s group, The Fifth Dimension. And they talked about the fact that they were one of the few entertainers who had been living together as husband and wife for decades. And one of the questions I asked was, how have you been able to maintain that beautiful marriage relationship for so long? And one of the things they said was, we're best friends. We are best friends. They even talk about how, as they began to realize, as each of them began to realize that they really had a strong interest in the other one as a lifelong partner and no longer just as close friends, they were concerned about the prospect of marrying each other because they were afraid that if they married, they might spoil the friendship. And so for a while, they were reluctant. I'm just sharing with you what they shared with us when they spoke with me some years ago on radio. So I'm not sharing anything with you that's held in confidence. They shared this with us publicly, you know, over the airwaves. They were reluctant to marry because they didn't want to risk spoiling their friendship. They were best friends. They finally decided that they were going to take the risk, that they were going to just hope for the best, that they would be able to maintain the level of friendship that they had experienced for several years and still also now be husband and wife. They married and their friendship remained intact. And I mean, as best friends, the friendship didn't go from best friendship status to casual acquaintance status. No, they continue to be best friends. I spoke with a couple in the Augusta area on the program. They'd been married for some years and loved their marriage. They loved their marriage. They loved each other. I asked them, what has been key to you all maintaining such a happy marriage? They said, we're best friends. So many married couples who I've talked with about marriage and what has helped their marriage be so successful, so fulfilling after a number of years together as husband and wife. And I think without exception, the first thing they said was, definitely without exception, the very first thing that the couples said, or within the top three, probably the top two, was their friendship. They each considered the other to be their best friend. Their best friend. So that's it. Notice again what's happening here. You have singles with their level of happiness and well-being. You have married couples with their higher levels of happiness and well-being. Then you have married couples who consider their spouse to be their best friend, who have an even higher level of happiness and well-being than the married couples who do not consider their spouses to be their best friends. Restless Heart singing, I'll Still Be Loving You.
Changing my life with your love has been so easy for you, and I'm amazed every day, and I'll need you till all the mountains are valleys.
There's something about the beauty of marriage, especially when the marriage is truly a beautiful one.
I'll be yours until the sun doesn't shine, till time stands still, until the winds don't blow.
In the event that you are married and you and your spouse, for any number of reasons, have never been best friends, can you change the relationship? Can each of you change yourselves with the help of God, the creator of marriage, the creator of relationships? Can you change yourselves? Each of you change yourselves so that you become best friends? Let's take a look some more at marriage and long-term happiness in just a few.
See the love.